This is that other sports shit. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back, baby, 2024, ooh, the first show of the new year. Energy is high. I'm telling you, folks, it's going to be a good year. We have people lined up to be on the show. We actually have people who want to be on the show. This is amazing. It hasn't happened in, like, forever. But we will be getting this situated. This year is going to be good, not just on individual levels, right? Not just for myself or for my boy Jason. But it will also be a good year for the show. It's going to be a fun year. Last year, we hit like 37 motherfucking shows. I'm telling you, I'm hitting you with the cursing right off the bat.
Let's go.
I can't believe how many shows we did last year. I cannot believe it.
Yeah,
but this year is going to be great. Today we are kicking it off with a lot of, we got NFL playoffs, right? We got wild card weekend, baby. It's starting right now. Obviously give our thoughts on some stuff that's going on with the games, but we'll try not to dig too deep. We typically do, and it goes 3 hours long. We'll try not to do that today. We also have the Francis Ngannou news. It's probably potentially the biggest boxing match of maybe the century. I don't know. It's crazy, right? Like Anthony Joshua and Francis Ngannou. We'll talk about that. We have the UFC card coming up this weekend. We're going to touch on that. And whatever else that Jason wants to throw in, we'll touch on. But without further ado, for the first time in 2024, let me introduce to you my man, my homie, holding down Fresno, Cali, Mr. Jason Valdez.
Good morning, Jesse. Happy New Year. It is an absolute pleasure to be joining you again, and we will do all of our house cleaning now. We'll get it out of the way early. Jess, we did 36, 37 shows last year. I think the last two seasons, we've went really hard on going more content. This year, I think 30-ish, 32, 34, maybe 35 shows, that's where we're going to be at. I'd like to stick the landing spot right at about 35, because I think if we do around 35, that gives us majority of the football season with the beginning of the year playoff season. So right there, that's like 24 episodes. And then we're going to have some time off in the summer like we usually do. We'll take a few weeks off here. We'll take a few weeks off there. We'll always come back around for the big fight news, for the fun NBA stuff, for just whatever sizzling on the hot plate at that time that we know you guys want our takes. But 37, you know, Jess, I was thinking about it after we recorded our last show last year. And I thought, are we going to do a New Year's Eve show? Are we going to really move stuff around to do a New Year's Eve show? And I just decided, you know what? I didn't see it. Once we pulled the plug on the Christmas show, I was like, you know what? We stuck the landing. We had a successful year. Maybe not our best year. If you look at how many years we've been doing this show, definitely not our worst year. Trending up, if you
trending
some would
up,
say.
I like it, yes.
Some would say. So I said, let's just stay where we're at. Let's give it a few weeks. Let's let it linger. Let's get the people anticipating our return. And then we just come back and we just wallop them with that Super Mario hammer that he uses in Donkey Kong when he's crushing barrels that are coming to knock him out. We're just, this is it. So we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jess has kind of laid it out here. We've got some short-term visions, some long-term visions for this year. Jess, I always love to do this at the beginning of the year. We are probably, and I'm not joking when I say this, 13 seasons deep now, 12 seasons deep. What do you think? We're over 10 for sure.
I think we're at least 12. potentially 13 seasons deep.
It's one of the two. We can confirm.
And so when
that.
You look at, like, if you look at Spotify or Apple, it'll say like season one and two, right? Well, that's just because it was kind of like our restart, right?
Yeah.
So everybody rebrands, everybody restarts. So we restarted with season one. Last year was season two. When the show goes out for publication after I edit and everything today, it will say season three. But don't get it twisted. We've been doing this for a very long time.
I would guess somewhere on the internet, if you search high and dry, you can find some of those older shows. Because I've found them. Just kind of kicking around Apple. What was the first real platform that we were using back in the day? What used to be the Blog Talk? What did Blog Talk push? Do you remember offhand?
It was blogtalkradio.com, right? That was
what was there? It wasn't Spotify and it definitely wasn't Apple.
No. So I believe with Blog Talk, they had like their own, you know, kind of like what we're doing now with the Spotify version. Blog Talk had like their own, you know,
was it
link.
Streaker?
It was a personal link that you could get. And then if you wanted it to go to other avenues, you would have to like take it and kind of like shuffle things around to all these different websites and kind of attach that link to it. I remember at one point in time we were doing
there was so many things. Because we were pushing the shit out of it. We were really pushing it. We were like, just like we do Spotify now. The same way we pump up Spotify, we were pumping up whatever Blog Talk was, whatever their main shit was, whatever like they liked to push. We were pushing it. But we were doing numbers, Jess. We were doing big numbers back in the day. But enough about that, Jess. Onward is what they like to say. Onward we go, Jess. We've got a UFC this week after a few weeks of no combat sports. Well, there was some little bit of boxing here and there, but, you know, we got to give the people what they want. They want to hear our takes on the UFC here. So we're going to touch on that. We're going to touch on a few of those fights. But I'd love to start, Jess. Let's start with the hot button topic, if you will.
Ooh, I like this.
Francis Ngannou. He is going to be fighting... I want to call him AJ Styles and get my first wrestling take out of the way. But Anthony Joshua, you know, Jess, years ago, we talk about many moons ago when we were doing this show. If you remember, I was really big on Anthony Joshua. I thought he was going to be the next superstar for 5, 7, 10 years. I thought he had a Lennox Lewis type upside potential where he may not have been looked at in the history books as one of the all-time greats, but he would have a block of 7 years, 8 years where just no one was beating him. You know, he had speed. He has speed. He's got power. He's got the great boxing background, the backbone of the old school Olympics and Golden Gloves. And he's got more of a traditional boxing background that I'm just used to seeing where you go, okay, well, these are usually the guys that are going to be the guys. Yeah. And then something interesting happened, you know, Tyson Fury happened. You know, the other Deontay Wilder happened. There were just some interesting things that happened. And on top of that, Anthony Joshua has
Andy Ruiz.
You can call it a year. If you want to call it a year, he just has a bad year where, you know, you could say it's bad, but he gets knocked out badly. And then it's just like a 6 or 8 months of recovery and then rebooking that fight. And then the second fight was just awful. It was just so bad. And so he just had some ups and downs. But they've done credit to his team. They've done an incredible job of rebranding, as we just spoke about earlier, you know, changing the marketing, if you will. And the shift was towards a Deontay Wilder fight where, you know, these Saudis, we've talked about them before, they're coming in with the Brinks trucks, they're coming in with the big bags. And they did an event a few weeks back here, Jess, where Wilder fought, AJ fought, same card, But the thought process was, you know, that old school 90s boxing thought process of we're going to put these two guys on as the co-main event and the main event, hoping that they both win. So we set up a fight with each other. That did not happen. One guy looked terrible, and that was Deontay Wilder. He stunk it up. So here we are, Jess. As Deontay Wilder was stinking it up, you started seeing on social media, Jess, what about Ngannou? What about Ngannou? What about AJ Ngannou? AJ Ngannou. And I think Ngannou cleverly started sending the tweets, which is just brilliant because you gotta keep your name out there. Otherwise, how are you going to make it happen? Shoot or shoot, Jess. Isn't that what we like to say here?
Shoot or shoot. That's true.
So here we are. The fight has been made. It's AJ Anthony Joshua against Francis Ngannou. It is mind-blowing to me on a few different levels, but I'm going to breathe and give you a moment to get some initial takes in here, Jess. Give me some of your initial takes before I jump back in here.
All right, so I have what I believe you're going to find interesting type of take. This is my take. I believe that this is a desperation move on the part of Anthony Joshua's team. He is losing ground. He has lost steam. He is no longer the hot commodity. And now with the loss that Deontay Wilder just recently saw, Anthony Joshua's prime becomes even lessened now. Because now you can't say, oh, well, I lost to Deontay Wilder, but he beats everybody. No, that's not true. Mm-hmm. Now, Deontay Wilder's lost to basically a nobody, you know, outside of, you know, people that understand boxing quite well, right?
It's a very fair assessment.
So Anthony Joshua, this is a desperation move by his team to try to get back in the spotlight, try to show that he's still something in the sport, try to continue making the bag, which is the ultimate goal. I mean, it's the ultimate goal of all of us, right? We don't go to work for free. Anthony Joshua don't get punched in the face for free. He gets punched in the face for money. For Francis Ngannou, this is prime real estate opportunity. Mm-hmm. To get a knockout victory over a guy who can clearly be knocked out, over a guy who gets in his head mentally. And if you can get Jay, you and I say it all the time. You say it all the time. You started this trend. I just jumped on your back. 90% mental. 90% of everything we do is mental, baby. We got to keep our head on straight, even when going through the roller coaster. Anthony Joshua cannot keep his mental game straight. He lacks that capability, both inside and outside of the ring. This is a chance for Francis Ngannou to come in. He is primed. His body is ready. He just came off of what most people would consider a victory, even in loss, over Tyson Fury. Mm-hmm. And now you're fighting Anthony Joshua. This is a chance to put... Just bury Anthony Joshua. This is a chance to bury his name underneath the weight of your heavy hitting motherfucking gloves.
I love that.
Francis Ngannou, this is a chance for him to not just make a bag, and a big bag too. Both men will make money off of this fight. But this is a chance for Francis Ngannou to make a name for himself in this sport by defeating one of...
Jess, can you hear me? This is a win-win for Ngannou, the same way it was with the Fury fight. Other than him getting knocked out and embarrassed in one or two rounds, which I don't think happens, but it is in play because Anthony Joshua does have heavy hands and it's a heavyweight fight, shit happens, but I don't think it happens. He has a chance to look great in a loss. And in hindsight, if you go... He looked great against Fury, and some people thought he won that fight. Of course, you know, we didn't. And he looks great against Anthony Joshua. To be able to say he's got 20 rounds or 22 rounds or 24 rounds, how many rounds it is, with the top competition, top heavyweight competition in the world, and fought well, that's an enormous win for him. That is an enormous win, even if he does lose. Now, again... What I'm starting to lean towards now, my initial thought is Joshua just boxes his ears off. Joshua just goes, I will not make the mistakes that Fury made. I'm going to fight an absolutely tight and perfect, disciplined boxing match. I'm going to box from the outside. I'm never going to let him let that big right hand go. I'm going to hold him when I can. I'm just going to turn this into an old school, a golden gloves, Olympic style fight where I'm just going to just jab, 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 right hand, body work, stay on the inside when I can and lean. That's what I think. That's how I think it ends, but time will tell. But Jess, not to cut you off, I want to let you go back into it. Go ahead with the Ngannou AJ thoughts.
Yeah, no, I just think that it's a great opportunity for both guys. But it's definitely, like you said, it's a win-win for Ngannou. You know, both men are going to get paid. Both are going to get their fair share of, you know, media coverage and so on and so forth. But Anthony Joshua is in a weird space, man. He's in a weird time in his career where, like, we honestly, like you said, Jay, years ago, you were like, this is the guy. This is the guy that's going to bring the heavyweight boxing, you know, back into action. We're going to have a legitimate heavyweight American boxing champion soon. Anthony Joshua is
Canadian.
That guy.
I think he's Canadian.
Canadian. Well,
but let me say this. That Klitschko fight, because that was right after the Klitschko fight, was when a lot of us were going, this is the dude. This is the guy. We knew the potential was there. This was the perfect fight for him. An age Vladimir Klitschko, who no one can get out after him being so dominant for 10 fucking years. He got him out, knocked him out. So that was the fight where we all kind of went, okay, that was so many years ago in hindsight. Eight years ago, I would guess.
It was a long time ago.
And so this is where AJ can truly have his redemption story by going, Fury wasn't there. I beat Ngannou, who everybody said gave Fury fits. Now I want the winner of Fury Usyk because I don't want them to, you know, maybe they fight and there's a clear, definitive winner in that fight and then I get the winner of that fight. I think either one of those fights is extremely dangerous for AJ, especially the Usyk fight. I think Usyk can knock him out. But that's across the bridge when we get there. I am excited for this fight. Credit to Ngannou's people for once again making it happen. Mentioned them earlier here. Credit to the Saudi people for making it happen. You know what I'm saying? Because
gotta love that Saudi money.
Not dealing with the fuck around of the politics of this has to be done with Vegas and other promoters and this and that and 60-40. And I got to make sure that everyone's getting every single dime because now these guys just go, no, here's money for fucking everybody. And we're going to go ahead and build a stadium to do this shit. We're going to have rising rings and a swimming pool. And Wiz Khalifa is going to come out and have a fucking little 20-minute concert before the fight. Going to come out banging that black and yellow. Jesse don't want to hear that right now, but we'll get, you know, it is. So interesting fight, Jess. Give me an early, way too early preliminary thought. How you think the fight goes? Who you think wins?
So I've seen Anthony Joshua fight a few times. I've seen a lot of clips. I've seen a lot of stuff, like both on losing ends and winning ends of fights. I think that Anthony Joshua is very technical with his form and his striking. His footwork is it's fantastic. His footwork is great. He keeps his head a little high, and that's worrisome against a guy who punches as heavy as Ngannou can, right? You keep that chin up a bit too high, and Ngannou catches you even with a glimpse of a shot. You got the potential to get knocked out. Anthony Joshua's a tough guy. He's going to come in very technically sound and based. Ngannou, not so technically sound and based, has some form, obviously is going to have been practicing and just doing everything he can, a lot of sparring and whatnot up until this fight, especially going into the Fury fight and now forward with his newly found boxing career. What I think is going to happen is Joshua will come in, assume that he can take ring control. But he's going to find out soon that Ngannou is a ginormous, strong man. And I think that Ngannou will actually be the one that takes the ring control first. He will push Anthony Joshua into the corner. And the corner is not where something Joshua's going to want to be in. No boxer wants to be in the corner, right? It's a bad place to be. You don't want to be in a corner with a guy that strong, that powerful, and that much bigger than you. And don't get it twisted. Ngannou is physically larger than Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua has actually kind of a slight frame for a heavyweight boxer, but that's where his speed comes from, right? That's how I see it happening, but a far, far, far too early, tell on this fight is my prediction is Ngannou is going to catch Anthony Joshua. He's going to put his lights out somewhere in the sixth round. Sixth round knockout Ngannou.
I think the difference, and okay, so let me walk you through two scenarios.
Do it, man.
The first scenario is that one, which is, and like you said, Anthony keeps his chin up. The speed and his defensive reflexes isn't that great. And power is power. Dude, power is power. Like it's the ultimate equalizer. And as great of a boxer as AJ is, that power is a motherfucker. And I believe Ngannou's confidence is going to be sky high. And being able to say, I went toe-to-toe with some people think is the best heavyweight in the world, and I think I won, and I was able to hurt him. So this guy is going to be a lot less of a test. It'll still be a test, but be a lot less of a test per se. I think that confidence is going to be a huge difference, and I think he will be throwing that big right hand. He will be incorporating that nasty, that cobra striking hook. And I believe if he is going to get a win in this fight, it's going to be by a knockout somewhere in those middle rounds, 4, 5, 6, 7. So I am in agreement that is in play. But I think the other scenario is the one that I brought up, which is I think going back to the Ruiz fight, where that second Ruiz fight, Anthony said, fuck this. I'm just going to have a boring fight. I'm going to go with that Olympic jab, 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 right hand, body work, and I'm going to just use ring generalship to beat you. I'm just going to use a little bit of a higher fighter's IQ, if you will. And we talked about this with Fury against Ngannou. You know, I thought a lot of those rounds that Fury won, it was just the boxing IQ and the ring generalship. Some of the stuff was relatively even. But the experience of Fury and the inexperience of Ngannou, some of that shit was just the ultimate divider, if you will, definitely, for me, on my scorecard. And I believe that is going to be in play in this fight. Now, if AJ pulls that off, that's another story. Or if Ngannou lands something nasty and changes the fight the same way Fury could, that's all in play. I'm excited, Jess. We will once again revisit this fight when that time comes. As we get closer, fight week and whatnot, Jess. But I want to touch a little bit about this on this UFC. It looks like Ankalaev versus Walker 2. That really, really weird first fight, if you recall, Jess. We discussed it on the show.
It got stopped, correct?
It got stopped early.
There was an injury or something to Walker.
And then Walker tried to fight everybody, including Dana White, in the cage. As it was just absolute chaos.
Yeah, there was no signs of being concussed. None.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. He was good.
He's fine. We all want to fight our boss at some point in time.
Was ready to Wardlow powerbomb Dana White, but other than that, I think he was all right. I mean, like you said, you've got a very good point. Majority of people want to Wardlow powerbomb their bosses, so who the fuck are we to judge? I don't want to spend a ton of time on the undercard, Jess. Not trying to disrespect these fighters, but there's not a ton of sexy on it. Bruno Ferreira versus Phil Haas. I think that's interesting because Ferreira's one loss. Simon versus Batista's got a little bit of legs. I think that might be a Simon trending down versus Batista trending up. Always good to see Jim Miller and his 50-plus fights back in the ring. Any fight here, Jess, that stands out to you that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, simply just for nostalgic reasons, you want to talk about 50-plus fights? How about Andre the Pitbull Arlovski?
Is he on the undercard?
Fighting in 2024, where he's going to get his ass kicked by Waldo Cortez Acosta, who is he's an animal, right?
Where is he on this card? Oh, he's the – oh, wow.
He is down.
Hey, he's down. He is all the way down.
The Pitbull, man. I remember watching this guy back in like 2008. Like,
oh, I remember watching like 2003.
Good Lord.
Like pre-Dana with hair UFC.
Yes. Well, not when you said hair, I was thinking about, remember when he used to have like the super hairy chest too? Like now, I was like, that's Pitbull with the fang mouthpiece. Which, by the way, I bought like three pairs of those. Just
they worked.
Yeah.
Is he an enormous favorite in this fight, too?
No, he's an enormous underdog.
He's a dog.
He's a huge.
Minus 650. Good Lord.
He's a huge dog.
I feel like we're going to get the same Arlovsky fight we've got for the last two or three years, which is plotting, which is circling, which is at some point an exchange of combos where he is on the wrong side of it.
Can someone email his people and just say, look, man, we get it. Like, he's older now. Just give us one vintage, go out there, throw a bunch of haymakers, and just see what happens. Kind of fight.
Give us one last Arlovsky versus Cabbage Carrera. You got it, India.
100%.
One, please. Give it to us.
I'm still pissed that Tim Sylvia beat him for the heavyweight championship. Fuck.
Didn't he break his arm? He broke someone's arm.
Yeah, he broke his arm.
Oh, man, what a time.
Andre got his revenge, though.
Hey, you're going real.
That's what counts.
2005, yeah. 2006. Some of these listeners
vintage,
ain't ready.
Baby.
Some of these listeners just aren't ready for that pre 2005 UFC.
They're like, 2005. What are you talking about?
They're like, I was two. So go ahead and stop that shit. Ankalaev versus Walker, the rematch. Jess, who you got?
I've got Ankalaev. I think Ankalaev would have won the first fight. The weird concussion thing or whatever had happened in the injury sustained to Walker. I think Johnny Walker's in a better place mentally, physically. He was on a little bit of a win streak before that, no contest. But Ankalaev is a different beast. He comes from that type of camp, it's a different animal on that side of the fight game world, right? Like, and so the people that Ankalaev trained with are like, I think some of them are legitimate murderers. And so, like, you don't want to mess with them.
They may be gangsters, like
in other countries.
Actual gangsters.
I got Ankalaev. I'm going to go TKO. I think Ankalaev finishes the fight. I'm gonna go third round. I think Johnny hangs out, for a minute or two, but he's not gonna be able to avoid the pressure the whole entire fight.
I think Walker's good for one round. I think he'll get in exchanges with Ankalaev because Ankalaev likes to trade. But I think ultimately Ankalaev at some point will take him down, get a trip takedown, or just get that cage to cage, chest to chest takedown, and finish on the ground. I think we get either a ground and pound finish, or we're going to get like an armbar or a choke on the ground. I don't know if Walker can go 15 full minutes hard with Ankalaev. That's one of those things, the old school. He's going to want to grind you out. So Walker's best chance is to let his hands go, let his kicks go, let his wild flying knees go. Maybe he lands something in one of those exchanges. Maybe he lands something in a transition when Ankalaev's shooting one of those flying knees or low uppercuts. Hadouken uppercut, we'll see. I am with you. I am in agreement with you. I like Ankalaev, and I'm going to go round two. All right, Jess, we're going to hit the wrap it up button on our combat sports for this week, and we are going to move to the NFL, the National Football League. Week 18 is behind us. The season is over. I believe coaches are being fired as we speak because I'm getting text, so we shall see. Jess, any thoughts here on the way out? Anyone random you want to talk about? Rivera, Vrabel, any of these guys, or we're just going to keep it moving?
No, so I just want to throw one quick question out at you. I know that the world of coaching, this is when it all starts to crumble, especially for those teams that have had a not-so-great year. But this is the question that me and a bunch of guys at work keep talking about. Everybody thinks, as far as I know, like 90% of everybody says Mike Vrabel, and I believe that you're on this bandwagon, Mike Vrabel to the New England Patriots. I think we all know Bill Belichick's days in New England are done. Where he goes afterwards, I don't know. I have absolutely no clue. But my pick for Mike Vrabel is to take his defensive mind to Atlanta, the ATL, and go find himself a quarterback, punt Ridder out, punt that other kid out, go get himself a real life quarterback. He's got talent in the wide receiver position. He's got Kyle Pitts, who many said at one point in time was a generational tight end. Bijan Robinson, who now many people are saying is a generational running back. Defense is not bad. The offensive line is okay. The only thing he needs, really, to make a playoff-caliber team is a quarterback. That's where I'm saying he's going, the ATL.
So I've seen that take, and I'm not opposed to it. A few things here. One, the Belichick thing to me is very interesting, and here's why. Because I think it's Wednesday, it's going to be 10 in the morning, and he hasn't been fired yet. So if he hasn't been fired yet, what's going on? Now, is this one of those things where Kraft is sitting down with him and going, hey, look, you're out, I'm out, we're all out, but we got to figure out the proper way to do this because we don't want to just fire you like everybody else gets fired. We want to give you your flowers, if you will, on the way out. Which, I mean, I don't know if Bill is opposed to. Here is, in my opinion, what I think is happening. I think Kraft is a very smart man. He's a very loyal man. And I think he's going to go to Belichick and go, okay, so you've said publicly you're willing to give up some responsibility, and we want you to do that. We want to bring in a quarterback, whether it's a Cousins or a Fields or fuck. There's going to be 8 to 10 motherfuckers available. I don't believe they're going to draft one because after two, it gets weird, right? It's like Nix. It's like my boy Penix. There's a few of them there, but I don't think they're going that high. So I think that they go, all right, we'll get a quarterback in free agency, and we are literally one last run, one last ride, and this is it. Like if we get another 5-13 or another fucking 6-win season, this is it. We're letting you know now. If we can't figure it out now, this is it. Now, maybe Belichick says, actually, go fuck yourself. I'm getting calls from the Chargers. I want to go move to L.A. and kick back and take my young hot wife over there and fucking do commercials. And who knows? Maybe there's a scenario because you got to remember, too, Jess, his sons work on the staff. So maybe there's the layers there where they're just trying to figure everything out. Maybe they're trying to figure out some weird trade where they go, well, technically, we've still got you under contract for a year. So maybe we send you and your whole fucking staff over there and get like a 5th and a 6th rounder. Who knows? But I don't think Kraft is going to fire him because I think if it was going to happen, it would have happened by today. I think going into a Wednesday and it's lingering, to me, it's too late. Either you've already been fired or you're good. That's just my opinion. And even the Vrabel thing yesterday, I was like, he has to be the last, right? Because we've seen the quote unquote Black Monday where it's like, damn, 6 people got fired before even woke up. They started firing people at fucking midnight on Black Monday. So I was like, all right, well, we see how this is trending.
What's the Falcons? Arthur Smith, man, that guy got fired like
12:01.
He got 12:01. Fired at like halftime. They were like, hey, you're out of here, dude.
They're like, you're fired. The Saints are disrespecting you. It's just, it's everything. It's all fucking bad. But this is what I think happens with Belichick. It is just that. Now, with the Vrabel thing to me is interesting because he's going to get another fucking job. Vrabel is the one to me right now outside of Harbaugh that's going to be the hot commodity. I think he's going to be able to be the one that goes, all right, the Harbaugh stuff is cooled down. He's either stayed at Michigan or he took another job. And now I'm the guy. Now I'm the guy that everyone wants to hire. Now I'm going to be able to be the pick of the litter and go, no, I want to go to Washington. No, I want to go to the Chargers. No, I want to go to whoever else has a fucking opening. I think there's like 6 of them or some shit. Maybe Vegas.
Who knows? I think there's 6 or 7 teams. Yeah.
Maybe Vegas. And doing a little Raiders talk here. If you're Al Davis or Mark Davis, I'm sorry, Al Davis is dead. If you're Mark Davis.
Rest in peace, Al.
God rest the dead, of course. fingers up like the Usos. Fingers up. What I wonder is, if you're Mark Davis, Jess, and you go, okay, we can keep Pierce or we can bring in Vrabel, which would you prefer? It's a tough one, right?
I'd go Vrabel. Vrabel's got the experience. He's a known commodity. He is a winning head coach. Antonio Pierce, everybody falls in love with a new thing. I mean, hell, how many weeks do we talk about Danny DeVito or whatever the hell his name was? The kid from the quarterback from New York.
Italian fingers?
Yeah, man. How the hey?
Italian fingers.
Italian fingers, kid. Like, and then you know we fall in love with people quick because that's our society, right? Instant gratification. Well, Antonio Pierce is an instant gratification thing for Las Vegas, but he I don't think that his resume suits him being a head coach right now. I do believe that he'll go back to being a coordinator this next season. I don't think that he's going to be getting calls to be leading the charge.
So, you think Harbaugh leaves? But I know we're
You know what? No, map, so you and I talked about this. We've talked about it a bit, and you did not convince me that he would stay in Michigan. But after seeing the game, the reaction after the game. I mean, I saw him pick up his dad and swing him around in the air. I saw John. I mean, his dad's like 85 years old.
His dad's very frail. John, I missed that.
You gotta
I missed
be careful,
that.
Man. Like, he's picking up his old frail ass dad, all covered in Michigan blue. You know, swinging him around. I see the Harbaugh brothers greet each other at midfield. I honestly feel that he's staying at Michigan. He's going to say, you know, basically middle finger to the NCAA and say, hey, you guys ain't got shit on me. And now I'm a national champion.
Yeah.
My team
you
will
want to
suspend
me for four games next year?
My
That's
team will
cool.
Go
I'll come right back
season.
And win again.
We will be ranked number one. I will go 15-0 again. I will win another natty. And you can't do nothing to stop me. That's a Harbaugh mentality. That's what we all like about the Harbaughs. They're super confident about what they do. That's why John and Jim both been so, you know, so good in their careers, both in the NFL and outside.
Harbaugh is at a spot where I believe he can wait for the right job, a job that he absolutely loves. And I don't know what job that is. I would assume it's a location thing. Maybe Miami. Well, they're not fucking leaving their coach anytime soon. The Niners again, they're definitely not losing their fucking coach anytime soon. If it's a location thing, it seems like other than the Chargers, all the good locations are gone right now. I mean, some people talk about Vegas. Have y'all been to Vegas before? Have you? Vegas is, this is cool for 2 or 3 days, but I don't want to live here. Like it's
2 or 3 days. Tops.
By the third day, you ain't got no money. So I am not coming off of my Harbaugh thing. I said it a month ago on this show, and Jess, you're right.
I'm 100% agreeing with you.
I believe that now is where his numbers are going to get pumped the fuck up, and now is where all the leaks are going to start. The Chargers are calling him. The Raiders are calling him. He has mutual interest with this team. We're going to get a lot of whispers and a lot of this and that, and then Michigan's going to come with the fucking ultimate 10-year bag. And they're going to tell him, listen, you get suspended for 10 games. We don't give a fuck. We're going to pay you. We're going to support you. Just come back for game 11 with that. Nobody's better than us bullshit. And we're fucking drinking two fistfuls of it. So I think our boss stays. I'm not coming off of that. But I've been wrong before.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Not that, you know, we're jumping all over the place. But with the Harbaugh stuff is Michigan is a storied, you know,
you're right.
Collegiate franchise. When I was a kid, it was like the Desmond Howard stuff, you know, the Brian Greasy stuff, you know, Tom Brady was back there, mm-hmm. you know, like we've had so many greats, national championships. I believe that they have two natties. The last one was 97, I believe. So you're talking years and years and years of not mediocrity. They've not been a bad school, right? They've not been a bad team. But they've had some down years. Well, now you get a guy with a name like Harbaugh. He's an alumnus. You know, he's taken a San Francisco 49ers team to a Super Bowl. And just to throw in another little tidbit, the Harbaugh Bowl. Let's not forget mm-hmm. that. Both Harbaughs were in that Super Bowl. It's pretty amazing. And now he's at the top. He's at the top of the mountain. He's brought Michigan back. So now you have the Wolverine. You got the fight song going. You got the fans going crazy. And it's UM at the top of the heap, the blue and the yellow, that navy blue and that yellow. It's a storied thing. That school is going to throw a blank check at Harbaugh and say, put a number down. I don't care what the number is. Let's get this done.
What is the NFL offering you? Cool. Here's $2 million more a year. And let's 100%. Do this for 10 years. Let's do this for 10. So now you just went $20 million more over a 10-year fucking span. And after that, he'll be whatever in his 60s, and he can fucking retire. And yeah, he'll retire a fucking legend.
Legend.
Never banned for a fucking steak. Never banned for a fucking drink.
He may even have the chance to get to Saban-like levels in collegiate
coaching. I feel like, dude, Jess, he's there.
Coaching.
He's there, Jess. He's there.
I don't think he's there quite yet.
If you want to go the range,
he's close.
That's cool.
I just mean where he's at. Like, you know, he's come close with Michigan since he's been there, right? He's had some good teams. He's had better teams than this one. I'll be honest, man. This Michigan team is not the best team that he's had.
That's fair.
And he's not been able to get them to that peak. The pinnacle, he's missed.
Well, because Alabama had the better teams that year.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're talking about some great Ohio State, some great Georgia teams. You know, even Alabama still playing a lot better back. But the case is now with the NIL and that type of money floating around. And, you know, players want to play for winning teams. And now you're the Michigan Wolverines, just winning a national championship with a Harbaugh at the helm. What kid isn't going to want to go play in Michigan? It's a huge thing for that school. It's a huge thing for him. I guarantee you, like you said, they give him $2-3 million more than any NFL team is asking for. And they give him a 10-year deal. He goes out on top.
Jess, it is time. TheLions.com is up. All of your favorite gambling websites, Caesars Sportsbook, BetMGM, FanDuel, DraftKings, BetRivers. They're here. They've accumulated the odds. And I'm going to go game for game, Jess.
Game for game.
We're going to do it in order. The first game looks like 1:30 on Saturday. It is the Cleveland Browns, led by Joe Flacco. Wacko Flacco is back.
Wacko Flacco.
They are a fucking 2.5-point favorite, which blows my mind, on the road versus Houston. I know defenses win championships, and I know defenses win games in the playoffs. But God, that's mind-blowing to me. I wonder if that line has moved at all. Jess, who you got?
I'm going to stick with the odds, people. I think Cleveland wins. I think Cleveland wins on the road. Wacko Flacco is experienced in the playoffs. He has a damn Super Bowl ring. CJ Stroud is an amazing story. He's an amazing quarterback. He's an amazing young man. But this is his first shot. His first shot in the playoffs. This is a big deal, man. We talk about the UFC jitters all the time, right?
That's a great point.
This is the rookie jitters, man. You're talking about playoffs, man.
Hey, rookie coach, too.
We talk about playoffs, man. I got Wacko Flacco, and I'm going to take the points.
Well, here's our first disagreement of the show. With the boxing, that might have been a disagreement, but it was a way too early pick him, so I'm not counting that. I like Houston. I don't trust Flacco in this spot. I am not sleeping on Houston's defense, which is very good. I understand they're not as good as Cleveland's. That's a no-brainer, but they are very good, and this is going to be 1-17. With Houston, they will grind you out, but they will make that 2-3 big game-changing plays with someone like Nico or one of those elite, I won't say elite, but great receivers that catch balls and get that yak on. I like Houston. I love the points there. So there's our first upset. This is 17-13 is going to be my final score.
By the way, I told our friend Justin Von Doom, you can follow him on Twitter/X at Justin Von Doom, JVD, my boy. I said if Houston happens to get to the AFC Championship game against Buffalo, I said we got to get together and we got to pay you to go see that game.
Fly on out. Listen, this guy Justin Von Doom, he's making that big author money now.
So. Hell yeah.
He's threading it. So, yeah, I really like the Texans here. Some of these spreads surprised me.
I would not be surprised if Houston wins this. I'm just going gut instinct. I'm going playoff caliber quarterback versus, you know, rookie who's – don't – CJ's going to see lots of playoffs in his career, but this isn't
– Him and his coach. So, and you've got a great point with the rookie jitters on both sides, but I just – this is one of those games where I just think that there's going to be those two or three – difference-making plays with a Nico, or something like that, where you just go, well, it was a pretty even game. They just made those extra big plays. There's just that one 70-yard bomb that got away from that one Cleveland defensive back on a zero blitz, and that was the fucking difference. It's just that chess move that swings it. 17-13. The Miami Dolphins, and boy, oh boy, shout out to our boy Smash Squad MMA. He is you guys have been poking each other for weeks on Twitter, and it is fun to watch. He's in a predicament here. He really kind of talked himself into a corner. He was crushing Buffalo.
He was.
They got slapped around. Well, maybe not slapped around, but just, you know.
That second half was pretty bad if you're a Miami fan.
It got messed up. First half was terrible for Josh Allen. And they went from the second seed all the way down to the sixth seed. They are playing Kansas City, and I see a 4. There's a 4.5 on DraftKings, but let's keep it at 4, Jess. Kansas City at home. I keep hearing it's cold. I saw you send a tweet that said, leave the heaters in the locker rooms and let everybody fucking freeze. I love it. That's old school football mentality, Jess. I love that. Who you got?
Look, I'm only saying that because I believe it was last year when they beat us in one of the last 7 games that they've beaten us, just the one game. On the sidelines, we're in Miami, it's like 85 degrees, and they have heaters on our sideline. Guys were throwing up, like heat exhaustion was a real thing. I'm telling you, Miami, oh, you dirty bastards. I'm going to get this to my boy at Smash Squad MMA. I'm going to tell him right now. He's going to be really happy. He's going to be really thrilled because I'm taking the Miami Dolphins on the road.
Wow!
I think that Kansas City is toast. They are burned.
Whoa, Jeff, you're crazy.
Unless something dramatic happens in this game, Patrick Mahomes goes back 3 years and he has one of those type of games. Travis Kelce's talking about retirement. Like, things are not good in Kansas City. Like, their mental space is not good.
He's like Draymond. He's emotional.
Andy Reid is one of the best coaches I've ever seen. And I'm sure that if you went back generations and they could see Andy Reid, they'd say the same thing about Andy Reid. Andy Reid is an amazing head coach. And he has not lost this team. But the confidence that these players have in themselves is down a couple feet. And I like the fact that Miami is going to come in. They're going to be heated, no pun intended, and they're going to be ready to play football. I like Vape Coach. I saw the Hard Knocks. Vape Coach had some really, really good, solid words to give to his team. I don't expect this from Vape Coach, right? I expect him to do his stupid little, like, snazzy interviews at the podium and stuff and his little quips and, like, his little jokes. But he had these guys, man, and he was basically telling them, like, this is a make or break, right? Like, we came, you know, we want to come into this game. We want to win this game. We want to put Buffalo down. It didn't happen. After the game, he had a little talk with his players. And he's telling them, man, this is not the end, right? Yep. He did all the right things that I would want out of my head coach after losing such a big game. And I think that the players are going to feel that. They're going to come into KC, cold or not, I don't care. Even if they move it, to a dome, Miami wins by 2 touchdowns. If they move it inside, Miami wins by 2 tutties.
You're wild right now.
I'm telling you the truth. Miami is wildly more talented than Kansas City.
The only
thing that Kansas City has that they can count on to come up and show or to show up and play every game is that defense. That defense is hardcore for KC. But Mahomes don't trust nobody on that field with him outside of Travis Kelce. That's it. And it shows.
In this game,
weather permitted, I'm taking Miami and I'm taking the points.
Yeah, you know, this is we're once again in a disagreement. I am very tempted to agree with you, but I think this is one of those. I think Miami's banged up. Miami's banged up on defense.
They are a bit.
They've lost some players. I feel like the last few Miami games that I've watched, Tyreek is really slow to get up. He's banged up. I saw a game that, like, 2 weeks ago, I think fucking Tua targeted Hill like 13 or 14 times. It was a ridiculous number. But I think they're a little banged up. I still agree with you that Kansas City is struggling at the wide receiver spot. But I do believe they make just enough plays. I think this is going to be a bowling shoe ugly game. I don't think this is going to – I think on paper it's sexy as hell, but I think it's going to be bowling shoe ugly. I think that Kansas City is going to make this messy. You're going to get a lot of those dink and dunk, time control, 10, 13 play drives out of Kansas City. It's the only way they can fucking score. And I like Kansas City. I don't love the 4 because this feels like a 3-point Kansas City win to me. So I'm going to go Kansas City wins and Miami covers. Wow. Pittsburgh Steelers. I text you about this game right before we started the show, Jess. The 10 seems a little high to me.
It is high.
I'm going to preference.
I just want to start. There. I want to start with you apologizing to Mike Tomlin.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, hold on. Go ahead and pull the fucking tape from November when I apologized to him. I said in November, I was wrong. All right? The guy is – I've never questioned his coaching credentials. I just said he's got too much going on.
He has a shitty team.
He has a very bad quarterback, and he's going with another bad quarterback, and now he went with another bad quarterback. Like, you want to talk about taking chicken shit and making it into chicken salad. I never doubted Tomlin's greatness. I just said he wasn't going to go 500 this year. And then I apologized, and then there was like a 3-week window where it's like, oh no, they still might go less than 500. Like they might.
It was sketchy for a minute. So then I was like,
you know what? Double down. Let me double down on this motherfucker. Nah, you know what? Guy's a loser. On my face. So Jess, because you're, you know, 2024, we're about accountability. Thank you for holding me accountable. Mike Tomlin, Steelers fans, terrible towel waivers. I apologize, all right? I was wrong. You go ahead and you pull that prediction show up that we did in late August, early September. It's probably a few misses there.
There's going to be some misses.
Maybe more misses than hits, but the hits were home runs. I was home runs. Yasiel Puig level swinging, all right? So you're going to get some strikeouts.
I like that reference, Yasiel Puig.
With that said, Jess, that 10, it just seems a little high considering the games that Buffalo loves to fucking play. who you got?
It's super. I think the points are high, for sure. I agree. Mike Tomlin, you may never listen to this, but if you happen to ever come across... I never doubted you, sir.
That's fair.
Just saying that.
That's fair. I hit the bell. I even said I would trade Tomlin.
So, the points are high. Buffalo is super up and down. Their whole season has been super weird. The stats don't lie. You go back a few weeks, I think like week 8, Miami had a 3-game lead in the AFC East. It looked like it was going to be a runaway, right? Next thing you know, Buffalo wins the division for the 4th year in a row, and Miami goes to the 6th seed. It's been insane. As a Buffalo Bills fan, my heart can't take much more of this. I'm just telling you right now. Like, if I drop dead one day, like, it's all I'm blaming Buffalo.
Blaming Josh Allen.
Blame Josh Allen, the damn cowboy. Like, he's more cowboy than Brett Favre or John Elway ever was. Like, it's a roller coaster. Oh my gosh.
It's now been framed to the Josh Allen right experience.
The Josh Allen experience. It's wild. Yes.
It's got its own title now. And listen, on Saturday you'll be fucking hands full. I guess Sunday. Josh Allen experience.
I think that again, weather permitted, because it's supposed to be snowy in Buffalo. I mean, for fuck's sake, it's gonna be, you know, January in Buffalo. So yes, there's probably gonna be some snow. They typically do a good job of clearing off the field. So unless the snow is steady and just keeps piling on, I think the game should be pretty clean. But if you've ever played football, whether it's high school, college, or pros, you know that when it's cold outside, the hits sting a lot more. The ball hitting your hand hurts a lot more. Like, just getting up off the ground is tougher. So, like, I'm expecting there to be some sloppy football play. I'm expecting Josh Allen to probably lose a fumble. I'm probably expecting Josh Allen to throw a pick. I'm also expecting Josh Allen to run for 60 yards and throw for 250 and score 3 touchdowns. whether through the air or on the ground. I'm expecting Dalton Kincaid to have a big game. I'm expecting James Cook and playoff Leonard Fournette to have a big game on the ground. I tweeted that out earlier as well. The run game at Buffalo is going to be the difference maker. If we can run against Pittsburgh, especially late in the game, we will steal that game. I think Buffalo wins. I think Pittsburgh covers. Something like a 6-point win sounds good to me.
How did you feel? I guess it would be Sunday morning, knowing there was a chance that they could be eliminated if they lost.
It was. I was expecting the worst and hoping.
Because I mean, we were all assuming, we didn't do a pick'ems. We didn't talk about this, but I think we were all assuming the Jags were going to win.
Yeah, like why? How would you expect Tennessee to win that game?
That's unbelievable.
Tennessee's.
Okay,
and here we are. We've been throwing love all over Vrabel, right? Vrabel's this good head coach and everything, right? And then here we are saying, well, no one expected Jacksonville to lose that game.
And the tripped out thing is just when as they're winning that game, I was thinking, this is the team going, we love and we respect Vrabel so much. We're not doing 3-2-1 Cancun for our coach. We're fucking playing our hearts out. Fucking Tannehill out there, 38 years old, slinging. Like, to me, credit to that. So I missed the points part. Did you like the points, Jess?
No. The points I don't like. I said Buffalo wins, Pittsburgh covers.
Okay. So I agree. I said this weeks ago, and now it feels like you're seeing it on nationally on every channel. But I think Buffalo is the most dangerous team in the AFC in the playoffs. I think when they're hot and when they're rolling, they're a nightmare to play. I think defensively, they've figured some stuff out. And when Josh Allen doesn't turn the ball over, he's incredible. You've got to hope that they have that blueprint where their run game is working, which feels like could happen against Pittsburgh's defense. Didn't they just lose their best defender, or they don't know if their best defender is going to play?
Yes, T. Watt is out of.
Yeah, so I'm running the ball down that lane.
100%.
So there's some of that. I want to say that I like the points, but this feels like a backdoor cover. Like Pittsburgh's down 14. They get a touchdown with fucking a minute left, which cuts it to 7. So, you know, Buffalo gets out unscathed, if you will. There's no real true worry from a Bills Mafia standpoint. Yeah. But I do think that Pittsburgh covers. And you said something earlier and I, with the Miami game, and I think that it's really prevalent in this game, which is Buffalo just has better talent across the board. They've got better talent on offense. They've got better talent in the key positions. And I think they are a little bit better as a whole defensively when you take T.J. Watt out of this equation. I think that's big.
Yes. If T.J. Watt was to be playing in this game, he would be – I would consider him the best defender on the field at all times. When you take away that type of talent, it definitely cuts in. I'm not saying that these guys that Pittsburgh has can't come in, they can't fill in, they can't do the job, but they will not do the job that T.J. Watt could do. And what's the one thing to do to Buffalo to try to get them unnerved? And you put pressure on Josh Allen. That's what Miami did for the entire first half. I didn't even say 2.5 quarters. They put pressure on Josh. They forced him into 2 really bad picks, and Christian Wilkins, PP toucher, goes in there and strip sacks Josh with pressure. You get pressure on Josh, it happens. T.J. Watt out of the game, that offensive line is going to breathe a little bit less, right? They're going to have a little bit more time out on the field. They're going to feel a little bit better, a little bit stronger out there. They're not going to have to take on a guy like T.J. Watt. His presence is going to be missed in that game. If you give Josh time, Josh will pick you apart one way, whether his feet or his arm.
All right, Jess, I am excited here. Some interesting stuff for Bills Mafia. All right, here we are. And I'm honestly surprised if you would have flipped these point spreads and said Buffalo was a 7.5-point favorite and Dallas was a 10-point favorite, I would believe it. But here we are. Dallas had a strong 7.5 across the board at home. They are taking on the Green Bay Packers in an incredible switch. If you're a Cowboys fan, you went from worrying about having to play the Niners in the first round or having to play the Niners in the second round on the road. And all of a sudden, we're at home until the NFC Championship game, if we make it there, which I assume we are. And that's not just my optimism as a Cowboys fan. That's me being fair and balanced as a football surveyor. Jess, 7.5, who you got?
You know what? I feel like this point spread is based on the whole, like, what have you done for me lately type betting sports community. Jordan Love has been, he's been more than just a serviceable quarterback. I think that Green Bay, in a way, got lucky. The Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and weird enough to say, but potentially they've hit on Jordan Love as well. He doesn't have as much talent out there on the field. I think that in the long scheme of things, in the playoffs, it really, truly comes down to who is the most talented football team. I think that the defense, Dallas's defense, will do the job of holding back Jordan Love for most of the game. I think that Dallas.
Bend but don't break. It'll be but don't break.
Yeah, it'll be bend but don't break. I expect Micah Parsons to do some work against that busted up offensive line. I think I would like to say that Micah probably has a sack and a half in this game. I think the secondary won't have to do a lot of work because, I mean, considering all things, Jordan Love has, you know, he does have some decent stats, but I think that basically they rely on the run game to set up the play action in order to get Jordan comfortable. So in this game, I expect the run game to be prevalent in Green Bay's offense. And I don't think that they're running the ball against Dallas. I know that the word against Dallas is that you can run against Dallas. And James Cook ran against Dallas, but I think that even that was a special, like, situation. I just don't think that they're going to be able to run the ball, which is not going to open up many opportunities downfield for Jordan, which is why I'm super confident saying that Dallas is going to win. And if you're a betting man, take those points.
Yeah, we're both in. All right. The Los Angeles Rams, and this is my NFC side of you really don't want to play these teams. The Los Angeles Rams, they're a 3-point dog across the board. And they are playing Jesse's favorite coach, Dan Campbell, Mr. Up and Adam, 400 milligrams of caffeine before 7:30 a.m.
Rolex wearing.
Wheeling and dealing.
Wheeling and dealing.
Limousine riding. So three points across the board. And let's just get into it, Jess.
Yeah.
That's the old school. Vegas is respecting you because you're the home team in the playoffs points.
100%.
Who you got?
I got Bro Campbell. I got Bro Campbell and the Lions. I think that at this point in time, I think that Stafford has been playing out of his mind. I think that Sean McVay has been coaching out of his mind. I think that there's not one person, not even in LA, that would have thought, damn, I think the Rams are going to make the playoffs this year. And if you were saying it, I
never saw the tweet.
I would question you, sir. I would question your
I need the receipts. I need them receipts right now.
I would definitely need to see some receipts. I think that Detroit is definitely more talented on both sides of the ball. I know all respect to Aaron Donald, but you know he's slowed down a bit. Like he's a little bit up there now. Like you know, age is catching up. Stafford's elbow, is it going to be fully, you know, 100% operational come game time? I like Goff, man. I'll tell you Goff's secret. Goff's secret to his longevity and the way that he can play at such a high level, even though no one wants to recognize it, but he's played at a high level for a very long time, is he is, in fact, the best game-managing quarterback there has ever been in the history of the NFL.
High football this guy, IQ.
This guy's – his mind is sharp. His arm is just enough. He uses his legs just enough. And I'm telling you, like, he just will manage the fuck out of things. And now he's got some young gun receivers out there that can take, you know, a 5-yard pass and just take it to the house, like, at will. And, you know, that Sam Laporta, that's the only thing I want to jump back on Bro Campbell for is if Laporta can't play, that's all on Campbell. That's all on Campbell. Campbell should not have had Laporta playing in that last season game.
I tweeted the same thing.
Yes, 100%. 100% agree with you when you tweeted it. 100% think that it was the wrong move then because if you take away one weapon, you're just lessening your odds, you know? But even with that said, I think that the run game is sharp. I can't think of the kid's name now, the running back, but they picked up some good pieces. They've got some good pieces.
They've
on
got
the running
Gibbs
game.
And they've got Montgomery. Yeah,
Jahmyr Gibbs. That's right, Jahmyr Gibbs. And then they got that other kid that used to play in Chicago.
Montgomery.
Yeah, David Montgomery. Both very usable, and they both are different, so you can use them at different times in the game. I like Goff and the Detroit Lions.
This is very unique, Jeff, because I'm going to disagree with you here. And I know you've been a Bro Campbell guy, but man, the Rams are hotter than a pistol right now. And I know that can all change with one game. I know that can change. You know, I love the Lions' defensive end. There are some pieces with the Lions I love, but this one to me reeks of it's 17-13, it's 2017 late. And now you need Goff to make a play. Now you need Goff to make a play within that last 3 to 5 minutes. And I have a little bit more confidence in Stafford, knowing that he made those plays to win a Super Bowl, I don't know, 3 years ago. And then I do Goff, who we've made fun of since he's been drafted for having baby hands. I am going Rams. Feel like it's going to be something like 2017, maybe 24-20. One thing that worries me about the Detroit as well is they have a lot of games this year where they have given it up. They've given up more than 24, 27, 30 points. And that worries me because you wonder if this can be one of those games. I like the Rams. I like the points. Last game, Jess. The Philadelphia Eagles, they've dragged their dead carcasses into a Monday night wild card game. And they just so happened to be playing the quarterback at the beginning of the season.
I need to apologize.
No, give me my second. The quarterback that you thought was so atrocious, so bad, that when you set quarterback tiers at the beginning of the year, you had the bottom tier, and then below the bottom tier was the Baker tier. Jesse Thomas. The spread is 3 points. Eagles on the road. Who you got?
I want to start by saying I apologize to Baker. I love your commercials, by the way, Baker.
Always been good.
Baker Mayfield is a dog, and he has really fought through a lot this season. And I'm not going to sit here and I'm going to give you the Nick Wright treatment right now. It's not that Baker's been great all year, okay? Like, Baker's had some bad games. But when it's come down to it, Baker Mayfield has played at an above-average level when needed, and he's got some playmakers still. Mike Evans is 57 years old and still catching, 100 balls a year. And Chris Godwin is a really good receiver in his own right. And even though they ain't got nothing else on the offense except those two guys, somehow Baker Mayfield has willed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers into the playoffs. So all due respect to Baker. Baker, I apologize. But that's where it ends, because I think the Philadelphia Eagles beat you. I think the Eagles win this game. It is going to be, in Jason's words, bowling shoe ugly. Because, God, the Eagles look like shit right now. I don't know what happened to a
team.
They
are struggling.
Goodness gracious. I'm telling you, they need some holy help, man, because the Eagles look bad. I mean, what, they've lost 5 straight games? Since the last game they won was Buffalo. And in all honesty, Buffalo screwed that game over. They should have won that game, too. So the Eagles look bad. Baker's rolling into this game with a little bit of confidence. But I still think that the better team, maybe not by much right now, is the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the Eagles win, and they cover the points.
Yeah, I want to be against the Eagles just to be a rascal, but I'm not. I think the Baker story is great. It's a fun story.
Definitely.
He's played himself either into starting for this team next year, unless they get what they consider an upgrade. Here's my second time putting Kirk Cousins on a random team during this podcast. If you're keeping score, I could see him landing in Tampa Bay. I could see Justin Fields landing in Tampa Bay. There's going to be names out there that are going to be shopped. I think the Eagles are going to go with a little bit of throwback NFC East playoff performance where they just grind out their two running backs. They're going to try and protect hurt, because the word on the street is he is indeed hurt. They're just banged up. And losing AJ Brown to me is fucking enormous. And in my opinion, the difference between them potentially going to a Super Bowl and being a second round out. You just can't lose a superstar, a game-changing wide receiver like that. And the guys that they have that are gonna try and step up, it's just not the same. And Hurts, I'm hearing a lot of Hurts
is he still banged up?
Yeah, Hurts' upper body is banged up, and the cause and effect of that is he can't throw a proper ball. His lower body's banged up, and the cause and effect on that is he can't plant to throw it to get some oof behind that ball. So now it's gonna sail. It's going to stay up in the air a little bit longer. And that's, you know, that half of a second is the difference between a defensive back closing or not closing in. And when you don't have AJ Brown there to go, no, I'm just the fucking man and I'm bigger and stronger than you. So go ahead and throw that shit up. And I'll take that off of that little 5'11" defensive back all day. That shit's gone now. That's gone. Yeah. I like the Eagles. I'm a little hesitant in this pick. 3 points isn't a ton. So I'm going Eagles. I would not be surprised, Jess, if we're about 5 minutes left into this game and it's like 14-17 Tampa Bay, or 14-17 Philly, and it's like, Tampa Bay's got a shot here. I can totally see it happening.
It is really going to depend on the quarterback play. Like most football games, that's why they get paid the most.
The big bucks.
Most football games come down to quarterback play, man. If your quarterback's playing good, you win. If your quarterback plays like shit, you lose. In this game, it's the playoffs. Everything's got to get stepped up. Everything's raised notches, not just one notch, but notches. And we will see if Jalen Hurts is on the down because of injuries or whatever, then we will see that on the field. And if Baker is really, you know, playing that level above what people expect of him, we will see that on the field. I think that defensively, the Eagles, I don't know what the fuck happened to their defense. I'm just going to say it. I don't
know.
That's
a big problem too, Jess.
Wow. Last year, top five defense, maybe even top three. I can't remember
how they finished. Eight games into the season, top five defense.
Now,
and then everything
changed. Bottom five. They're literally a bottom five defense. I don't know what happened. I don't know what changed. I know that they got rid of some coaches midseason. They brought some coaches in. They swapped some people around. And here's the key. Here's another key. How much faith do we have, you know, in Nick Sirianni at this point?
I mean, as a Cowboys fan, I can't stand the fucking guy. So, I got nothing.
Do I need to remind people of his original, like, welcome to Philly interview?
There are few coaches in the league that I despise. I would probably say one. And it is him.
It is.
I'm like racking my brain. Like, what other coach chaps my hide? What other coach annoys me?
No, what coach grinds my gears?
It definitely isn't DeBall. He's just been giving us wins. It's not Rivera. Thank you for the W's on the way out. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head.
No, it's funny because we talk about Sirianni, and then so like as a Bills fan, there's a lot of Bills fans that really do not like Mike McDaniels. But on the other hand, there's a lot of Bills fans that are like, fuck, why do I like this guy so much?
He's cool.
I love Vape Coach. So yeah, I can't talk. Like, I love Vape Coach.
He's cool.
Talking to the referees about his fucking shoes and stuff on the field. Like, I mean, this shit's great. And he's a good coach. Like, let's be real. Nick Sirianni, he chaps my hives. He grinds my gears.
Jess, we have completed our playoff format round one. And I believe we have completed the show. I mean, it looks like Aaron Rodgers has been removed from the Pat McAfee show effective today. No reason to spend time on that.
How much did they give McAfee to do that? McAfee loves Rodgers.
I think it was he went way too hard on the anti-vax stuff in yesterday's interview, not realizing that big pharmaceutical companies fund ads on ABC platforms. So maybe
how about when McAfee called out his boss?
Maybe not the brightest move in hindsight, but that's just my thinking. Jess, let's shout out the people who love us. Let's shout out Variety Sports. Let's shout out Fat Boy Fadeaway. Let's shout out the Double Double Podcast, which I've been listening to. Let's shout out our boys, T&B. Let's give them all some love.
Yeah, definitely. So Variety Sports Network is where it all started last year. And I know that they had some stuff going on before us, so I don't want to take credit for their rise in numbers or anything, but like I'm just saying.
I will.
No, Variety Sports Network, follow them on Twitter/X, whatever you call it. It's @Variety_Sports_. Please follow them. Fatboy Fadeaway Sports, that's their entire thing. Let's follow Tyler. Let's follow Brian. I don't even have all their stuff. I'm sorry, Tyler. Tyler is literally Tyler M. Girk. And that's G-U-I-R-K. Follow Tyler. I love that guy. Him and I go back and forth. I know you and him go back and forth a lot. Positive stuff, though. Positive stuff.
Yep.
Follow our boy Brian. Brian Johnson. Brian, I don't know where you are, brother, but we still love you, and we're still going to have you on the show. Brian Joe 568-74820. You can't figure that out. You can't remember it. Just go to one of our follow pages and find him.
We shout retweet these guys all the time. You should just be following the people we retweet.
Smash Squad MMA, @SmashSquadMMA. Brother, even though you're a Dolphins fan, I can't hold that against you too much. I still got a lot of love for you. And I'm going to send you more Mandy picks. You know I will, because you know I like them too, so it's fine. You know, we'll send you more pics. I mean, that's what we do. Follow Justin Von Doom. Follow Chef Shea Rollins. Follow Owlan. It's with a zero. Okay, yeah. I used to fuck that up all the time. It's with a zero. Okay, so it basically follow our boys, follow our folks. They're all good people, and they're all twisted in like we are. So you know what? We have fun with it. It's gonna be a good time. Shoot, I almost forgot. Team Toss 21. Follow the pod. Please follow the pod. The pod's getting close to 1,000.
I'm
really excited about this. It's getting close to 1,000. And just because it's the first show of the new year, I do have to say, and I'm sure that Jason will also jump on this too. Thank you for everybody who listened over the past year. Thank you for everyone who's listened to us over the past 13 years. We love each and every one of you the same. Spotify, I was just looking at our numbers. Our Spotify numbers jumped so much from the beginning of last year to the end of last year, like tripled numbers. So thank you so much for everybody. And shout out to the Apple plugs too, baby. Thank you for all those folks who listen to us via Apple and Spotify both. We love you guys just the same. And we thank you for the follows. We are
any
here.
Platform that you listen to us on, we appreciate you.
This is just day one of 2024. We've got so many more to go, and we hope that you follow along with us. And just safe is anybody that we do follow, you can feel good about following back. I swear, I don't follow porn bots. I block those fucks. So, you know, you're good. But anyway, folks, enjoy 2024. I hope you had a good 2023. Let's make a better 2024. Because that's the key of life, right? Just getting better each year. So let's get better this year, folks.
Bees gone.